Pinky is founder of Gender Diversity in Seattle, Washington, and the long-running Gender Odyssey Conference that takes place August 4th to August 7th. He's here to talk about the conference and give us his spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Aiden.
Hello, it's so great to be here.
Tell us about the 15th annual Gender Odyssey Conference.
Gender Odyssey began based out of my own personal journey of my gender exploration. I was contemplating gender and my relationship to it, and I found that there were just so few people that I could talk to, and I just needed more. It was scary, unknown. The guidance out there was minimal. The books I could read were next to none, and it was difficult to figure out how or if to go forward and in what way. So it made sense to bring more people together and have a bigger conversation. And that's the short of it, how the conference got started.
What do you hope to accomplish with Gender Odyssey?
So much of my work, I come from, right or wrong, I come from a personal standpoint. So part of what I think about with this conference is, you know, what do I need? Or if I were in someone else's shoes, like the parent of a transgender kid, what do I think they would need? And those are the driving forces behind the programming, behind the events that happen there. Even when I'm considering the layout, the particular convention center that we use, how can I optimize what I hope to accomplish? And that is, I want people to come to this conference, and I want them to see that they're not alone. I want them to definitely meet and encounter and engage with people who are very much like themselves. But I also want them to clearly see that there are many people navigating this in very, very different ways, very different experiences, that every aspect of our lives, of our identities, our family structure, you name it, that all of that influences our path, and that a gender journey is not a single decision. It's many, many decisions over life, and frankly, from my perspective, I think it always will be. So I want folks to see those distinctions as well and recognize the richness that is within what other people would consider a very small community of people. I want us to have an opportunity to come and share how tough it is. The gender journey that any particular person travels, whether that's an individual or the parent of a child exploring their gender, we experience loss. It's painful, stressful. That varies in degrees for many folks, some significantly more so, and some less so. But ultimately, I want us to be able to come together and just hold each other, support each other, a shoulder to cry on if we need that, ears who will listen if we need to rage, whatever it is. But I also want, in that same vein, I want us to be able to do a different thing for each other, which is celebrate. We have very few opportunities where we can really celebrate the joys that this journey brings us, the richness that it can bring to our lives, and we need that. So I want us to receive that, and then also I would like us to recognize through each other's eyes the strengths that we have and to carry that with us as we leave the conference. It's like having a moment at an oasis and then being able to head out into the next leg of the journey. So I want that hope and support and empowerment to be part of what we take with us as we leave the conference.
Tell us a little bit about some of the panels and workshops that are offered at Gender Odyssey.
We have quite a number of different panel presentations, and sometimes those are transgender people who are parents. They're raising children. They need each other for support. They're sharing stories and experiences, some challenging, some humorous. We have a panel for parents of transgender or gender nonconforming children who are sharing their experiences. Often that panel is directed to professionals, medical, mental health providers, social workers, educators, in an effort to lend a personal experience to this topic, because so many people view it as oh, something that a liberal parent might allow for their child, rather than the reality, which is these parents are Republican, they're Democrat, they're young parents, they're grandparents raising their grandchildren, they come from Muslim and Mormon and Christian backgrounds, they come from poor economic status to very well off. It touches every family. And no one of these families steps into this support of their child lightly and without great thought and without great loss of sleep. One of the most powerful panels that we present at this conference is the teens themselves. The teens are the way for the rest of our society to actually get a glimpse into the future about the expansiveness of gender and the ways in which we can do it, which are basically limitless. One of the things that teens can readily articulate is that there's not just two genders, there's as many genders as there are people on the planet. And it is something that your average parent might not hear or receive from their own child, but when you have a half a dozen kids articulating the same thing, it can really resonate. So a number of the parents find that that's a very powerful and moving panel that they experience.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
I cannot not do this work. And frankly, in times of great fatigue, I have thought about that. I wanted to step away, and yet I feel quite strongly that this is the work that I need to be doing. I spent quite a number of years of my life in the lesbian community prior to my transition. I had the blessing and good fortune to meet a lot of amazing change agents within that community, and especially so a number of people that were older than me by 15 or 20 years who, in a sense, mentored me and provided me what I felt was more like a second upbringing. There's no way that between them and my own mom, who raised me to be who I was meant to be and to fight against the injustices that present themselves, there's no way that I could let any of those people down and not do exactly what I'm doing. I find a huge amount of satisfaction, doesn't even seem like the right word. It's what I need and have and want to do. It just fills my soul.
What would you like to see happen for LGBT equality in the next few years?
I have a sense that what we're seeing now, the volatility and the increased resistance, is kind of the last gasps of people who are resistant to change. That's my hope. And that it will ramp up and then it will significantly decline. That's my hope. That's my belief. That's the way that I move through the world. And so when I think about that, I think it's got to be really difficult for some of those people who struggle so much with LGBT issues. And when I'm at my best, I have compassion for them. And when I think of that, I think I would like us as a community, as a broad collection of communities, to be gracious as much as we can be as this change moves forward in our favor. I want us to be the bigger person as a population to allow for a gracious defeat as those defeats come about, rather than any type of bloating or whatever might come about. So, you know, who knows? Maybe I'm in my 90s before that day shows up. But I do feel like we are in that progression. Younger generations are already so much more accepting of our gay and lesbian populations and bisexual populations. Even my own daughter, who's 26 years old, she says, transgender rights are my generation's issue. We care about this. I just want us to be the bigger person.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
That's a challenging question. I think it could be helpful to share that you're in a large group of amazing people if you feel that way. that would be one thing that I'd want them to know. So that even in the midst of their distress and hopelessness, they can at least know that they're in good company. And I want them to know that they're feeling that way for good reason, and it's not about their value as a human being. It's more representative of where our society is right now, and that we are in these awkward, struggling time of change, and that's kind of the fallout of where we are, and that it is spilling onto any of our individual lives. The second thing that I'd want them to know is that if they can hang in there and find their way through these times and these feelings and these difficulties, that's success. And if we look at it as a struggle, that's a win. Staying alive, being on the planet, that is a win. And that I don't want to give any of those who can be so ugly, either individuals or as a society as a whole, I don't want to give them the satisfaction of ending my own life, of ending my own joy and experience and my work in the world to change it. They're not going to get that satisfaction from me. And that's something that I would say to a teen as well. Don't give them the satisfaction. We are the ones to accumulate wins, not them.
How can people get information about the Gender Odyssey Conference?
First of all, visiting our website, genderodyssey.org, is definitely the primary way to get information about the conference that is for transgender people, the primarily adults, their family members, friends, other community members, and so forth. We have a full adult track of programming. That's at genderodyssey.org. On the flip side, we have genderodysseyfamily.org, which is a site for those parents, guardians, foster parents, etc., who are supporting transgender youth. We have little kids all the way up to teenagers who attend. There's a lot of crossover pollination between the two tracks of programming. Those are the two primary ways to find out. We're all geared up right now to put on a fantastic conference. We'll have our largest attendance ever this year, and we're pretty excited about it. And the conference takes place August 4th through 7th in Seattle, Washington. We hold the conference at the Washington State Convention Center, so there's no shortage of space. There's plenty of room.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
What does all this have to do with me? Because if they could ask themselves that question, if they could examine, why do I care so much? Why do I have such strong feelings about this? Why do I sit at the edge of my seat when I hear about someone's gender transition? Why do I hear the reactions of friends or family or coworkers that they're so strong? Why are we having bills introduced into our legislature all over the country regarding trans people and access and dignity and rights? You know, what about that? That would be a question I would love for people to ask. And then we can step into that conversation and say, hey, you know, Aidan Key did a gender transition, and so what? What does that represent to all the rest of us? And those are good conversations. Those are powerful, and those run pretty deep. That's a question I would love to have people put forth.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra, to get you through difficult times?
As far as a mantra, I think what I most often come to is, this is a time for me personally to make some significant change. All I have to do is get up and do one task. That might be answering an email. That might be catching up the accounting. It might be making a call. But that every task that I do in my work world, I know changes lives. So that is the thing that I remind myself day in and day out. When I have a personal struggle on any given day, feeling too tired or feeling overwhelmed or feeling deflated for whatever reason, that all I have to do is do a couple of tasks on my to-do list, and I'm changing the world. That's what I'd say is my mantra.